We do not know what a day will bring forth. That's why in the Christian pathway, we can look for surprises, for God is a God of surprises. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but the greatest thing in the Bible I see is Jesus loves me. And I have had the privilege for many, many, many years now of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing the worst sinners in neighborhoods changed by the grace of God and made perfect for eternity in heaven forevermore. And I can say to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Now I had two letters handed to me today. One was from my elder son, Kyle. And he wrote me a little note about a sermon preached by the famous Thomas Guthrie. And in the sermon, Guthrie quoted the text, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. And he made this comment on that verse. Earth for work, heaven for wages, this life for the battle, another life for the crown. Time for employment, eternity is for enjoyment. And that's a good summary of the Christian life and the joy of serving Christ. But not to be beaten by her younger brother, my eldest daughter, wrote me a little note, and she said, Dad, I was just thinking a few lines for you, for your service. They read as follows. Open my mouth that I should speak boldly, my Lord, for thee, who saved me from my guilty stain, that I one day would heaven gain, and there with Jesus reign. Open my mouth that I should speak boldly, my Lord, for thee, of thy great love for mortal men, that thou did not their souls condemn, but from thy wounds thy blood did stem. Open my mouth that I may speak boldly, my Lord, for thee. Though bound in chains, I will not fear the path that seems to me so drear, but praise thy name most dear. Open my mouth that I may speak boldly, my Lord, for thee. And then, when all my labors past, I at thy feet my crown will cast, and all be peace at last. I thank my daughter for those words. They have been an encouragement to me, especially today at these meetings. What do you say after spending your time for a multitude of years preaching and giving battle to the enemies of those that would try to destroy the gospel and try to destroy the Bible and try to destroy the faith once for all delivered to the saints. But this evening, I would like to pay a special tribute to the lady that without hesitation I call the boss. And I would like to say I would never have been where I am but for the prayers of a godly woman. I have never got up in the morning, but I have heard her having her time of prayer. That has been a great encouragement to me. And what a time we have had together. I think the best time that we had was when I was in the Crumlin Road jail. Because then she had to come at a certain time, and she had to go away at a certain time. But I wasn't allowed to go away at a certain time. I had to stay put. But we had times of blessing. And we saw people reached in those days and won for the Lord. Just reminded of a man who was a very outstanding, a man in one of the Protestant organizations. And got himself into great trouble. But the man that he was with in the cell, he was an outstanding Sinn Féiner. And he said to his prison friend, if we might call him that, he said to him, "You keep reading that magazine by Paisley. What can you see in that?" Now you should catch yourself on. He said, "Well, you would catch yourself on if you read it." So one day, when he went in, he saw his fellow prisoner reading it. But something happened. The Holy Spirit of God took the Word of God and passed it into that man's soul. And before long, there was a convert. And everybody in the Crumlin Road knew that there was a convert. They called him Paisley's convert. Of course, he wasn't my convert at all. He was God's convert. And he not only knew the truth of the gospel, but he spread it. And thank God, tonight he has gone to the king's palace. And there he has an eternal sentence. He's going to sing and shout. And one day I'm going to meet him there. And we will have an open air meeting at the gate of Zion. And he'll relate how he was saved. And I'll relate how I was saved. And we'll have thousands of angels there to listen to us. And we will have something to say to them for all eternity. To serve the Lord is the greatest thing you can do. To know the Lord is the greatest thing you can know. And to be sure that one day you'll be like the Lord, for you shall see him as he is. I want to look with you tonight at the unfailing beat of God the Father's heart. The heart of God is unbeatable in its course and strength. The omnipotence of its possessor is the strength of eternity. the capability of that heart of God is without a doubt colossal, overwhelming, and everlasting. It does not weary in God's heart, but it does spread the diversity of His love and mercy to the sons of men. The divine embrace of the Father's gift calls for a response from those who have been directed, for it is the unfailing beat of a Father's heart that lies behind it. We live in a great world. First, there is the grand old world. It is scarred with battle gashes of tempests that were many. Grand old seas on which God rode His chariot in all the wonders of His power. The world, however, is doomed to die. Its obituary has already been written by the pen of the Most High God. Nothing can stop the funeral. Its ashes will soon be displayed. But God has a gift for all peoples in the whole world and in every century of time. God is a most generous donor of love and goodness. Listen, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. The gifts of God are astonishing and staggering. Fallen man deserves none of them, but they are there for the asking. Offer by the free grace of a loving God. What an indictment is displayed as we view man's disgraceful attitude and his behavior towards the holy God of heaven. Fallen man would rather stagger in the midden of his filth than enjoy the majesty of God's glory. How fallen is man as we view what he could be, and yet he has rejected in being what God would have him be. He's a piece of broken humanity rather than the splendor of what he should be, the majesty that is imperial and glorious. How far sin destroys that which is pure and lovely. Sin springs from the fruits of hell on the table of time. Sinful man robs himself. He's a self-destroyer. His end is death. The unfailing demand of the Father's love. What is it? In all his living, man stands a rejecter of God's kindness. The gospel of Christ is an offer. It's an offer of pardon and peace. Yet the sinner grasps only at dirt and at death. The result of man's sin curses the whole human race. Fallen man chooses hell rather than heaven. chooses damnation rather than salvation, chooses destruction rather than instruction. Lust has strangled love in the heart of the sinner. Alas, the only bells he is going to hear are the death bells of his own terrible and eternal damnation. Tonight, in this final message from my heart to yours, I would say, dear sinner friend, turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading, and steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Shelley, the great English writer, in one of his essays, writes on the subject, the pure in heart. And he wrote these words: blessed are those who have preserved internal sanctity of soul, who are conscious of no secret deceit, who are the same in act as in desire, who conceal no thought or no tendencies of thought from their own conscience, but who are faithful and sincere witnesses to God's grace before the tribunal of his judgment that passes through their minds. Such as these shall see God. What? After death, shall their awakened eyes behold the King of Heaven? Yes, they shall. Shall they stand in awe before the golden throne on which he sits, and gaze upon the venerable countenance of the paternal monarch? Is this the reward of the virtuous and the pure? These are not the idle dreams of some visionary. These are those who have benefited from a death that was carried out on a hill called Calvary, the place where man took his God and put him to his bloody death. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He saved our fathers. Jesus Christ is the same today. Jesus Christ is the same forever. And those who are pure in heart shall see God. And that virtue is its own reward. May it be considered an equivalent assertion. During the very bad times, I was a chaplain at the Crumlin Road prison. I had many meetings with many kinds of men. But I went once to a cell, and in the cell there was two classes. There were those that were Protestant and those that were Roman Catholic. But they were one and the same in their attitude to Christ. I spoke to them as powerfully as I could. I made them kneel down, and we prayed together. Sometime afterwards, I had a message. Would you please come to the prison? I responded to that message. And when I came, I discovered that both these men had received Christ as their own and personal Savior. And they were both singing the same song, the song about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The end of the story is not so good, because they both finished their time and got out. And the Protestant was murdered by his own side. The Roman Catholic man is still walking with God in the light of his word. And he said, "What a time my old friend, the prisoner, and me are going to have in heaven. We're going to spend the time as special visitors of Christ to the prisoners of the Crumlin Road, for there's a lot of them got saved by the grace of God. I believe, men and women, in the power of the gospel. I believe that Jesus can save to the very uttermost all that come unto God by him." And what this province of ours need, what does it need? It needs the cross. It needs the one who was crucified there, but the one who arose and reigns in the power of an endless life. What a day is waiting for the saints of God. But what a night is waiting for the rejecters of the Son of God. I would say to them, be in time, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If and sin you longer wait, you'll find no open gate. Be in time. Be in time. Rest, for there's a sweet sound. What is it? It's melody to my ears. It lies at the reviving cordial at my heart's door. And from thence sends forth lively spirits which beat through the pulses of the depths of my soul. Rest not as the stone that rests on the earth, nor as this flesh shall rest in the grave, nor such a rest as the carnal world desires. Oh, blessed rest, when we rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." When we shall rest from sin, but not from worship, from suffering and sorrow, but not from joy. Oh, blessed day, when I shall rest with God, when my perfect soul and body shall together perfectly enjoy the most perfect God, when God, who is love himself, shall perfectly love me and rest his love to me, so that I shall rest in my love to him and rejoice over me with joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. No more, my soul, shalt thou lament the suffering of the saints, or the church of God in ruins, or mourn the suffering friends, nor weep over their dying bed and their graves. I shall never suffer thy old temptations from Satan, the world, or your own flesh. The pains and sickness will all be cured. The body shall no more burden thee with weakness and weariness. The aching head and heart, thy hunger and thy thirst, thy sleep and thy labor are all gone. Oh, what a mighty change this is going to be. And best of all, we're going to be like him, like the Savior, the man of Galilee, the man of Mount Calvary, the man of the empty tomb, the man of the filled throne, and the man who at this moment has mentioned our names, we who are redeemed, before the Father's face. The moon and stars shall lose their light. The sun shall sink in endless night. Both heaven and earth shall pass away. The works of nature will all decay. But they that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see the danger overpast, stand every storm, and live at last. What Christ has said will be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build. His word shall stand. His truth prevail, and not one jot or tittle feel. His word is this, poor sinners hear. Believe on me and banish fear. Cease from our own works, bad or good, and wash your garments in thy blood. May it be so with us all in this building, in this house of God this night. And the wider audience who are hearing this, may they be touched this day with the power of Jesus' blood and washed whiter than the snow. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb. And I shall be whiter than snow. The days that I have left, I will be investing. Investing in the souls of men and out after the lost. I do have an open-air meeting at the City Hall on a Friday morning. I'm going to carry on that open-air meeting. Recently, we have had wonderful conversions, miracles of grace. Lately, I have been able to kneel down with souls that were as hard as the shell of hell, redeemed and saved and triumphant through the blood of the Lamb. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I believe there's power in the blood, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And in this meeting tonight, there are those who are saved and their hearts rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. But there are those here who know not Christ. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check the falling tear. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. I trust those in this meeting who have not received Christ as their Savior will now in the silence of their soul cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me, I perish. And thank God you'll be saved and satisfied with Christ. And then someday I'll meet you at the great square of the city of God. And you'll say to me, do you remember a meeting that was held in the old martyrs' church? I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. And that night, preacher, as you preached, the Lord opened my heart, and I stepped in to his peace, his presence, and his everlasting joy. It is my earnest prayer that the last days of my ministry on earth will be in this great and wonderful work of bringing men from the darkness and the chains and the eternal hell that lies before them if they're not redeemed, to peace and happiness in the Savior. He loves you, friend. He died for you, friend. He's praying for you. I trust you'll not leave this house tonight until the peace that passeth knowledge and all understanding fills your heart with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And always remember, the best is yet to be, and the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for this time of preaching and listening. And we thank thee for all in this house tonight who have a personal knowledge of sins forgiven. They have been to Jesus for the cleansing blood. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. But, O God, there are those here not saved, not converted, not blood washed, not headed for heaven, but nearer to hell than ever they've been before. Oh, arrest them, blessed Spirit. Leave the hand of Christ upon them. Draw them from darkness into light and from the power of sin and Satan into God, and may they this night go away with Christ in their heart, the hope of glory. Hear this prayer in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen and Amen.